It's time for Tower Talks with Inside Towers, the wireless infrastructure industry's podcast. And here is your host, Inside Towers business editor, John Celentano.
Hey, everybody. Here we go with another edition of Tower Talks. This episode is sponsored by Inside Towers Intelligence, a quarterly market report that dives deep into the wireless infrastructure ecosystem. It looks at market trends, capital expenditures, relevant M&A transactions, and more. Intelligence is designed for managers, marketers, and investors. An annual subscription also includes an exclusive briefing and online support. The 2023 Volume 3 issue is available now. For more information or to subscribe, visit insidetowers.com/intelligence. The digital infrastructure ecosystem, including towers, fiber, data centers, and small cells, all operate under a similar shared infrastructure business model. But deploying these assets, particularly data centers, comes with very different requirements than putting up towers. Our guests today have a lot of experience in working with their clients on such projects. Joining me today are Jake Remington, Senior Counsel, and Sandy Gomez, Partner, both with the law firm Hush Blackwell. Sandy, Jake, welcome back to Tower Talks.
Hey, John. Glad to be here.
Thanks, John. It's a pleasure.
We're glad to have you. Sandy, let's start off with you. When a builder or a property developer wants to put up a commercial building, what are the key local requirements that must be met before they break ground? And I'm not specifically referring to data centers here. We'll get to that in a minute.
Well, due diligence for all real estate projects is certainly similar across types, including data centers. But some of the biggest things that you have to know from the get-go, and we encourage you to know, is one, does your local jurisdiction really address data centers or other types of what we would kind of call newer projects? Do they have the local rules that can easily control and provide definitions that would apply to your project? Or are you going to be dealing with sort of a more traditional, non-updated code of ordinances, regulations, and the like? So that's really the first thing you need to know is, are you dealing with a locale that understands a project that might not be as cookie cutter as just building a building?
Okay. So Jake, when it comes to data centers, are there particular aspects of what Sandy referred to that sort of come into play that may not necessarily be evident if we're just talking something less complex?
Yeah, sure. So in addition to, land, power, fiber, water, you look at the regulations and zoning code. So I think in this case, you typically have, other than I would say the data center parks or areas that are well-versed in this space, maybe they have data center overlay districts. You're going to have municipalities, as Sandy said, that don't necessarily have it as a permitted use or a special exception or conditional use. Mm-hmm. And so there'll be some legwork in terms of educating the jurisdiction about how this use might fit into an existing permitted use, industrial or commercial, mm-hmm. or need to be separated out and addressed through a rezone, a text amendment, or something of the like. The more you can move away from anything involving the legislative political process, the better. Because you're going to necessarily involve public meetings, mm-hmm. Greater transparency is good, but you're going to involve greater input from the public as to the particular use, and all of that equals delay and slows the development process.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we're talking about here mainly new builds, new developments. I mean, there's a similar process if we're, say, expanding an existing site, or is that pretty much already taken care of and they can just go ahead and add to the building as they need to?
I think it depends. If the existing use is a data center, that's one thing. But if the existing use is, for example, a warehouse, if you're going to change the use, you may need to still look at the zoning. You may be inviting public awareness, if a change in use is going to re require a zoning change. There are, for example, pre-existing uses where you have non-conforming, maybe non-conforming legal uses that have been grandfathered in, but the minute you change the use, you may not be subject to those. So it again depends on the use that's being currently made of the facility and how you want to change that.
Yeah, and
I
I
mean,
would
look,
just
go ahead,
besides,
Sandy.
I'd add to that that a true data center that we're talking about, or these highly specialized uses of any building, a lot of them, they have pre-existing uses, were most likely allowed through some alternative permitting process. So odds are, if you're going in to refurbish or add on to one of these, you are likely going to be tar going to trigger a permitting process because, 30 years ago, they weren't permitting data centers. This is a fairly new process.
I guess the other aspect too is some of these expansions involve buying up land adjacent to the existing property. So I guess you trigger a process there for use of that new use of that property that may be adjacent to an existing facility.
Yeah,
Yeah.
there's certainly platting processes, subdivisions. That's all part of the first, I guess one of the first is to identify available land, and it may be a parcel that's large enough to facilitate a data center, depending on the scale and the size, or it may be required, combination of a number of parcels to meet the use in the development.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, we just had a story that ran today about two data center developers buying land in the Atlanta area. I mean, large chunks of land with I guess their plan to build out over a long period of time. But these are, not in the city proper. These are outlying areas adjacent to the city. And I imagine, when we move away from large locales that have a lot of these zoning rules in place, and we see the trend now of data centers looking for space and power away from major centers or major data center campuses. A lot of these smaller locales aren't really set up to accommodate them. What are you seeing in that regard?
Yeah, I think projects, especially coming from a state like Texas, there's a lot of unincorporated land in Texas that falls under county jurisdictions. And they have much more limited land use control in these unincorporated areas. And these more rural areas, this may be the first time they've ever seen a project like this. It's sort of harkening back to the early wind farms and some of the solar farms, and it may take a one. It may take a lot more infrastructure to get it. Some of these rural, very rural areas have even limited internet. They have limited electricity. There's still lots of dirt out there in America that isn't well connected. So that could be an expense, and just getting people comfortable with this idea of what you're putting in, that always should be in your calculus when you're looking in these more rural areas.
Yeah, absolutely. The last point Sandy just made is a critical one. I mean, education. Smaller communities that aren't exposed to these types of developments aren't going to necessarily be excited about it at the outset. But having outreach and an educational process by which you are showing the municipality about what this brings to them by way of tax revenue, by way of critical infrastructure. Certainly, when I think of my work in the telecom space, and the development of towers, you have that again pushback against something new, obtrusive in their eyes, and it takes a lot of work, and necessary work to educate them on the benefits this brings, the coverage. the connection, the economic benefits, especially, it seems like the pandemic was so long ago now, but it's not doesn't take much to think back about the critical nature of being connected during those times. So I think reminding them about what this brings to the community in that regard, and certainly in the data center regard, is a key component.
And once you do that, I think some of your most receptive areas could be your rural areas. It might not look like that at first blush, but as you start doing this in more and more locales, Jake's absolutely right that they might not be familiar with it at first, but then can quickly come to realize the benefits are marginally much higher for a smaller community than they might be for, a major metropolitan area, and really are very welcoming to these types of projects for a whole host of reasons.
Visually, I mean, a data center is, unless it's a massive structure, doesn't have the same impact as a tower does. But I think to your point, if the developer or the operator can explain really what they're doing and then how it benefits the community, it seems that that's a win-win situation as they move forward with the starting to build a building up. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. I like to
Yeah.
advocate for our rural areas. They are really becoming much more sophisticated in their economic development efforts, and realizing what an
Yeah.
asset
Yeah.
these types of projects are.
Yeah, especially when they know, companies are willing to invest quite a bit of capital to make it happen. And
Absolutely.
to your point earlier that about the ben some of the benefits, I mean, it does bring jobs and obviously it adds to the tax base. But we try to minimize the pushback in that regard. But for any new, anyone approaching a locale where there's nothing of the sort existed, you talked about, lots of open, undeveloped space, Sandy. I mean, is there must be sort of a short list of things that they really should address or keep in mind as they're going into these discussions with the local communities. And what would that kind of a checklist look like?
I would start with, be a good partner. And I think that's true of any business person, but especially in a smaller community where you may be doing something new, is, people are going to be interested. I have a lot of clients who are in tax incentive deals with smaller locales, and they will get a call from the mayor or the county judge or whoever because they drive past it every day and they want to know how's it going. There is a huge benefit to just being a good partner and making yourself a good community member. So that's kind of the soft. The more technical components of it is if you're looking for tax incentives in particular, you need to make sure your timing is correct, depending on what the particular state and locale you're in requires of you. In Texas, abatements really are supposed to be incentives to bring a project. So once you've already started breaking ground, there may be a challenge in getting any kind of tax break or other kind of economic development because you've already chosen it. So you really need to have technical partners as well that know what the timelines are going to be and how you could take advantage of all the tools that the locale has at the proper time in the project planning.
Not every locale is going to have concessions they're willing to make beforehand, are they?
In Texas, not every locale gives local tax abatements. Not every single city or county or school district or community college or any other taxing entity gives them at all. But for the most part, the majority of the abatements that are available, there has to be a this was a component of why you put it here, like contingent on receiving the tax abatement. So that's how it works here. Now that's different from state sales tax incentives that we have here and other states have, particularly just for data centers. You know, that's a statewide program, and you would go through the state comptroller rather than your city or county or local. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think the takeaway here is, you know, leave no stone unturned, because there's a variety of incentives or goodies at the local, the county, and the state level. For example, in Illinois, there are county level incentives that could go to the assessed value of the property over a period of years. In Wisconsin, there are state level incentives related to data centers. So really getting someone who is familiar with the local, county, state incentives that are out there, even federal level, depending on the case, as it may be, is important insofar as the financial incentives that can be driven your way. So other than that, though, I mean, obviously property size and location is critical. And clarity of the zoning ordinance. Again, we've talked about that a little earlier, but you want to kind of have an idea of what the zoning ordinance provides. And if it's not clear, you know, if there isn't, for example, in Northern Virginia, where there's data center overlay districts, they've outlined and laid out the red carpet and made the process pretty clear, right? But in some of these other locales, it may not be clear. That doesn't mean you're not going to get your approval. That doesn't mean they're not excited about the use. But it may mean it's going to take longer, because there are certain processes that need to be run through to set this up so that it's defensible, you know, from a zoning standpoint.
Right.
So those are the types of things when you're thinking about the timeline and how it's going to look, you need to be aware of.
You know, you made references to different states, and as you were going through that, I'm thinking every state is different. I mean, at least marginally different even, but that's got to be a consideration for a large scale operator who's setting up facilities in different states. They have to deal with different requirements in different jurisdictions. Obviously a big challenge.
Yeah, certainly a patchwork. And you know, and that's where developers and operators often have you know, they have a great internal team. They may have an internal legal team. They may have a nationwide external legal team, but they also invariably and wisely engage a local legal and development team to assist them in these things that are particularly local in nature.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. There are some outstanding consultants out there that work on the financials and the land use and all of the above, and really know some of these locales better than anyone I've ever seen. I think they drive around and know every city, town, and everything in between.
And everybody.
Everybody. They know everybody and everyone. And it is an asset that is truly invaluable to any project planning.
Good. Well, look, this is good. Any final thoughts as we wrap up, Sandy, going forward, any considerations here?
Well, I think that the data centers, as no one that's listening to this needs to be told, are really one of the future developments that are just going to be needed more and more and more. So as this starts progressing, right now you may run across jurisdictions and areas of property that aren't completely ready for it, but they will be. And we've seen that with a whole host of new types of buildings and usages and things that when I started practicing were really hard to get done. Mm-hmm. Now everybody considers easy peasy. and I think that's what's going to happen with data centers as well. And to follow up on Jake's point, I think we all learned that connectivity is just crucial to operating your businesses, your schools, and everything in between. So this is only going to get more organized and orderly, in my opinion. And hopefully we'll see more growth across the country.
Great point. And Jake, a final word?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as we look at what, you know, what they call Industry 4.0, 5G, AI, the focus on reducing latency, you're going to get data centers in different shapes and forms pushing out to the edge. You're going to get, you know, you're going to need to bring it to the end user. And so you're going to get, maybe not call it clashes, but you're going to get interactions between communities that aren't used to this, but should and can be excited about it if approached correctly. And you know, bringing this, the exciting thing about it, from my perspective in doing this work is bringing this great technology to, you know, the far reaches of the country.
Well, great. Thanks to both of you for an interesting and informative conversation. For more information, visit Hush Blackwell's website, hushblackwell.com. That's H-U-S-C-H Blackwell, one word, .com, where you can explore areas of focus, including data centers and telecommunications, or you can email Sandy or Jake at sandy.gomez@hushblackwell.com and jake.remington@hushblackwell.com to discuss any particulars. Thanks everyone for joining us. Stay tuned for an upcoming Tower Talks episode. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to Tower Talks. To subscribe to our podcast, our daily newsletter, or use our other industry resources, please visit InsideTowers.com. Until next time, you've been listening to Tower Talks from Inside Towers, the wireless infrastructure industry's podcast.